Penguin Random House Audio presents Merits of the Plague by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Edited, translated, and with an introduction and notes by Joel Blecker and Mehraj Sayyid. Read for you by Fajr al-Kaisi. For Arya and Hawthorne, for Taj and Zakira Sayyid, and for those lost in the pandemic. Introduction. This book was conceived in the spring of 2020, during the early days of the coronavirus pandemic as dread, chaos, lockdowns, and death gripped the world. Struggling to absorb our new circumstances, many readers, ourselves included, turned to classic works on the plague with fresh eyes. Those works offered a sort of brutal comfort, a reminder that humans have faced times like these in the past, indeed times much worse than these, and made sense of them. Passages crafted hundreds of years ago or more, which once seemed arcane and fanciful, now offered profound insights across time and spoke to our current moment of astonishment and despair. Reports of the plague's daily death tolls that scholars once viewed as inaccurately high now seemed comically low. In relative terms, the deadliest pandemic in human history was surely the Black Death, which began in the 13th century, peaked in the 14th century, and recurred periodically for more than four centuries afterward. Even though many modern readers will associate the Black Death primarily as a moment in medieval European history, and plague literature from the Western canon has returned to our bookshelves and nightstands with a vengeance, some of the most profound meditations on the plague were arguably produced outside the West, in the lingua franca of Arabic, and in the cultural and intellectual milieu of Islam. Perhaps this is because Muslim writers, whose audiences crisscrossed Africa and Eurasia for trade, study, and pilgrimage, were best positioned to grasp the truly global scope of the plague and the moral, theological, political, and economic dilemmas it posed. One of the most important and influential works on the plague in Islamic thought is Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani's Merits of the Plague, a 15th century book that is here translated from Arabic to English for the first time. The book wrestles with debates over the origins of the disease, the most effective responses to it, and the meaning of suffering and mass death. In doing so, the author crafts a compelling, if counterintuitive, argument. There is merit in the plague if one understands it as an expression of God's will and an opportunity to practice patience and care for others. To make this case, the author weaves together evidence from stories about the Prophet Muhammad and his companions, medical works, law books, anecdotes from first-hand experiences, tales of unseen spirits, death count registers, and plague-era poetry that spans eight centuries and the known Muslim world. In this way, Merits of the Plague is both a profound meditation on the plague, as well as a classical anthology of medicine, law, history, traditions, and literature about pandemics in the pre-modern world. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, a 15th-century Egyptian, a paragon of the Islamic intellectual tradition, was at one time the most powerful judge in the Mamluk Empire. He was also a poet, a merchant, and a once-in-a-generation scholar whose knowledge of the Hadith, the corpus of narratives involving the Prophet Muhammad, was renowned from North Africa to India. The fact that he was stricken by the disease and lost three children to it must have had a profound effect on his thinking. He wrote this short volume to serve an audience coming to terms with the new realities brought about by the plague. Widespread death, uncertainty, fear of contagion, the limitations of medicine, and crises of faith. While these themes will ring familiar to all listeners who lived through the recent pandemic, the book also invites us into a world and a vision of reality inflected by Islamic thought, where the jinn meddle in human affairs and the heavenly rewards of martyrdom give meaning to suffering and the great loss of life. After Ibn Hajar's death, Merits of the Plague was abridged and adapted by his students for new audiences and continued to be read throughout the Ottoman period in the centuries that followed. Just as readers in our own day have turned to the Decameron of Boccaccio, the Betrothed of Manzoni, and Defoe's A Journal of the Plague Year, Ibn Hajar's book has also garnered renewed interest in the wake of the coronavirus among Muslims, as well as among scholars and public intellectuals interested in historical responses to pandemics outside Europe, for which few accessible translations on the subject exist. Readers opening up the New York Times opinion page in the spring of 2020 would have been greeted by the invocation of Ibn Hajar's work on the plague in the service of imploring the Saudi government to suspend the Hajj. Indeed, it is a sad but telling irony that the most influential book on the plague in our own era, Camus' La Peste, which is set in a modern Algerian port city that had been controlled by Muslims during the era of the Black Death, fails to include a single Muslim character, much less any mention of this or any other treasury of Islamic knowledge on the plague, works that must have been circulating in the city's libraries and studied in homes, seminaries, and places of worship for centuries. Perhaps this glaring omission underlines Camus' own critique of the alienation produced by modern life, as people are increasingly divided from one another and from their own rich histories. We hope this translation will serve as one small step in repairing those divisions and broken links. 1. Plague and epidemics in Islamic history. Was Islam formed, in a sense, by the plague? Although the Quran makes no explicit mention of the plague as such, historical sources suggest that it was. We know, for instance, that the plague of Justinian, which began in 541, cyclically recurred during the early Islamic incursions into Byzantium and in the era of the Umayyad Caliphate, 661 to 750. Indeed, as some scholars have argued, the devastation of the plague may have been an important factor in weakening the Byzantine Empire, helping, alongside other political and economic factors, to open a space for the ascendance of Islam outside of Arabia. The Umayyads, who displaced the Byzantine Empire in Greater Syria, likewise may have seen its leaders and its population decimated by later outbreaks of this plague, opening a space for the Abbasid Revolution in the year 750. This is to say nothing of the Prophet Muhammad's narratives, or hadiths, that circulated and were collected during this early period, which depict the Prophet as guiding his community amid the spread of infectious diseases and the foretelling of plagues to come. While the Prophet himself was not known to have experienced the plague, the hadiths portray the first caliphs as confronting it in Syria and turning for guidance to the Prophet's hadith on contagion and his prophecies of the coming plague. Plague during these eras thus provoked intense interest not only among Muslim audiences learned in Greek medical literature, but also among those early Muslim jurists and theologians who struggled to make sense of what message God might have intended to send in delivering a plague to seemingly innocent Muslims. Was it a punishment? If so, for what reason? Was it an opportunity for heavenly reward? If so, how? Devastating as these early and successive waves of plague were, the Black Death that peaked in the mid-14th century stands out for its geographical reach and the sheer magnitude of the death toll. If we consider the natural history of that plague, the spread of the bacterium Yersinia pestis, there is no shortage of possible vectors. While several locales of geographic origination have been hypothesized, the Tibetan Plateau is most commonly cited, with Crimea serving as the proximate hotspot by which the plague entered the Mediterranean littoral. Some scholars have argued that the plague may have been spread by the natural migration of flea-borne rodents, camels, and other animals, but human migration, for trade, pilgrimage, and war, must have played an important role as well. As Monica Green has recently argued, the Western military expansion of the Mongols across the Tibetan Plateau and the Silk Road trading routes into the lands of Islam in the middle of the 13th century, in particular, grain shipments that the Mongols brought with them to several sieges, including the 1258 siege of Baghdad, were the most likely mechanisms of transmission. On this view, the outbreak in Crimea in 1346 represented a local spillover event from the plague reservoirs seeded by those 13th century Mongol campaigns. Muslim pilgrims then brought the plague to Mecca's doorstep in 1349, when dizzying numbers of pilgrims were said to have perished. During the 13th to the early 16th centuries, Egypt, Syria, and the western province of Arabia.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?